Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining Voices from the Field, in which we bring you the insights and perspectives of those on the ground working hard to bring transformative change to child welfare to keep children safe and strengthen families. Today's conversation will be about birth and foster parent partnerships, an innovative approach where birth and foster parents work together on reunification through the cultivation of strong relationships. In a previous recording, we heard about the importance of this model and how shared parenting benefits not only the child, but everyone involved, including the birth and foster parents. Today, we will be speaking with a birth and foster parent pair who took this idea, born out of a 2018 convening in Seattle, and put it into practice in their home county of Santa Clara. We will be hearing from Jody Rogers, a birth parent partner who now works as a mentor and navigator to families newly involved in child welfare. We will also be speaking with Robin Robbins, a foster parent who has fostered and supported the families of over 40 children. In our conversation today, we will dive into how Jody and Robin took this birth and foster parent mentoring model and created a pilot program in which they worked hand in hand and wrapped support around a birth mother whose child had just been removed. Thank you, Robin and Jody, for joining us today. We are so happy to have you here with us. So I know this idea of birth and foster parent partnerships initially came up during the 2018 convening, where a number of birth and foster parents came together to brainstorm ways they could work together and how child welfare could bolster that relationship building. Jody, as a birth parent with a history of child welfare involvement, what was your reaction when you first heard about this idea of birth and foster parents working together? And Robin, as an experienced foster parent, how did this idea resonate with you?
When I first heard about the idea of partnership, I was appalled. I was like, there's no way, couldn't happen, nope. And when I got to Seattle and sat in a room where there was all these nice people and that we were just talking and there was people talking about how they helped these parents, and then I found out they were foster parents. And I was like, what? So yeah, it immediately caught my interest in something I was going through in my own personal life. Was I'm a single parent and I don't have the biggest support system. And so like a lot of the birth parents I work with, we're doing it kind of on our own. And I thought, man, going through a lot at home with my kids, I thought, man, how nice would that have been if I would have built a connection with a foster parent, somewhere that I could be like, please help me, or I need a break. You know, going 3-4 years and not having a break ever is hard. And so I started thinking that would be nice if it was could be true, genuine intentions like that.
Yeah, and you questioned it for a while. It's interesting because as you speak, I realized, Jody, that I came to this with almost the opposite feelings that you did, because I have been a foster parent for 15, 16 years and worked really hard to support families and worked really hard supporting mostly newborn babies who had medically fragile issues, and very frustrated and disillusioned with the system setting up barrier after barrier between me and the birth families I worked with. And it got to the point where I actually had to compromise my integrity and do things I wasn't supposed to if I was going to follow my integrity and support the family. So I was getting close to really giving up before we got together, and I met birth parent leaders that were so inspiring and were doing such great work nationally that it gave me hope again. So I'm like, oh, we've got to have somebody like that in my county. And that's when I found out about you. And I knew that there was some hope now for us to get together and really work on changing not just our situation, but the system. So you gave me hope, and I was excited to meet the birth parents.
So Jody, it sounds like you really came around once you heard more about the idea. And from how I understand it, you were so inspired from what you heard that you both hatched a plan about how to implement this in your own county while you were at the airport. Can you tell me what happened once you arrived back in Santa Clara? What were some of your first steps, and how did you approach this case in a different way?
So going home, I think that as we talked about it all on the airport, we came up with a plan. Okay, let's try this. She'll get a placement, she'll get a baby, and I will be the mentor for that parent, and we will wrap this family in support. We will just literally just wrap around them with all of our might and just see what happens and see what's different. And so we originally, then we decided that we needed to go to somebody and let them know, like, this is our plan. This is what we want to do.
And this wasn't a new idea for me, but because we had been in a national meeting, we now had somebody to back us up and give us some support. That's the only reason we were able to go. I was able to go to the county. So we got to have some buy-in with somebody high up enough in the system that they won't, take away the possibilities. So we did have a meeting with some people, but it was really because we could say we're part of the National Birth and Foster Parent Partnership that they were even willing to listen to me for the first time. So I was valued as a person with lived experience by you, by this larger organization, and I was able to bring that to the county too, and that's when they listened to us, which was good for them because we actually created something that was going to further their goals of reunification. So yeah, we decided the next time I got a call that Jody would use her supervisor to get connected with that case, and we would just figure out what to do next. We did not have a plan, but we were already connected and communicating well together. What happened then is we got a call, and it was, somehow we got the okay to do this sort of, we had a couple of people backing us up in the county. And I think it was, the people we felt comfortable with and we had connections with. And they just let us go for it. And we were kind of excited because I don't know if you were able to do that in your job before, but I had never been given permission to really do the work I do on my own that I think a family needed. So that was the very beginning of the case.
I'm curious how you approached the birth mother. Jody, what was her initial reaction when you told her about Robin and her intention of supporting reunification and that Robin wanted to form a positive and ongoing relationship with her?
Right when I met her, it was interesting because it's not something I've gotten to do, right? And it was really special and personal for me because this isn't something that I got to have done for me. But I got to approach her and let her know, like, I know where your child is. And I know this woman personally. And I got to explain how experienced she is, and how caring she is. And that her mission is to support families in healing. And her mission is to really just wrap her support around baby and mom, like her family to grow. And this mom, like, she just decompressed completely when I had told her that, and she looked at me and she's like, I'm ready to do anything I need to do. And in that moment I said, great, meet me at this treatment center right away. And she did. And I believe, honestly, as speaking for the parents I work for and for myself personally, when you can know where your child is, it's like amazing. Like half the load is just taken off your shoulders. Like you can actually, you're allowed to focus on what you have to do to fix it.
You know, when you have a baby in your arms that belongs to another parent, you've already created a relationship by just being that person. So you have a choice right then and there whether that relationship's going to be good for this family or not. And I've mostly, my experience is with infants, but I'm assuming it's true with older children. And we just connected instantly. But you have to remember there'd been a lot of groundwork laid first in both of our minds of how we were going to do great by Jody working with both of us and talking to both of us.
Robin, you're a very experienced foster parent. I would love to hear how working with Jody shifted your perspective on what birth parents are going through during this difficult time.
I just have to stop and say, and I've said this to you before, Jody, is I had learned so much already from you sharing your experience as a birth parent. I mean, I've worked with so many birth families, but I hadn't worked with one, closely enough with one to understand what exactly the moms are going through, exactly what the dads and the relatives. You were able to share from your lived experience and your experience working with families, because I never got to see that. I wasn't at the detentions. I wasn't with the families even before kids were removed. I was always the one that was there after the damage had been done to the family and the separation had happened. So that was a huge learning for me that continues. It still continues. She says something and makes me think all night, all the time still.
I think many foster parents would welcome the ability to understand what the birth parent is experiencing. Can you also talk about how you leverage this partnership to change the trajectory of the case? As I understand it, the case was headed to adoption, but you were able to use your united voice to make the case that the birth mother was committed to reunification and would do whatever she needed to make it happen, and that she was doing very well.
One of the things that happens when I have a child in my home is that the attorney that supports the child comes and visits. And the first thing that attorney said to me is, this mom has lost three children to the system. We're going to fast track, bypass. There's just no way we're going to even ask for services. I had a relationship with that person as well. And I said, but we have this great new partnership. We started calling it that from the very beginning. And I really think if we are given a chance, we might be able to support this mom at least long enough to give her services. So that was the piece where we convinced an attorney to maybe give us, you know, she used our relationship that I had created with her to take a chance on this family, even though the history said there was no way she was going to reunify. And that made it even more exciting. That made us a little bit more excited about the possibility of overcoming that way of thinking that families don't have anything but their history to define them.
And so immediately where we have a mom who's bypassable and she's had other kids removed by the system and now visits can't happen. So Robin reached out to me, it's not looking good. And I said, regardless of what you hear, this is a mom who's motivated. She's already in drug and alcohol treatment. She's already found a sponsor. She's already working with a therapist. She's already doing all of these things. She's highly motivated. So it shifted her thinking from, as a foster parent, from hearing all of these cons of like, oh no, to like, okay, wait, this is what's happening on the other side that you're not being told about, mm-hmm. which allowed for her open heart to come in and be able to supervise these visits. And so another thing I remember seeing is I would go visit her at least once a week where she was, and each week she'd have a new picture of the baby up because Robin would bring her a picture each week. And so just supporting her through that. And so if glitches came, if and when they came, or things would happen, or miscommunications or whatever would happen, I would get in there and just and try to now help them to navigate that so that we could have a good, healthy partnership. But there's even things like when Robin's taking the babies to special appointments that he would need to go to, I would advocate to this treatment facility to allow mom to go. And that's usually something you don't do, is be allowed to go in someone's car out of town to the doctors, be gone all day. So I really advocated, look, we're doing partnership, and it's this foster mom, she's well trusted. And they were like, oh, we love Robin.
But it was because we were both there supporting the mom together, and they're seeing us, you know, as a combined effort, as a support system rather than just a personality who says she's good.
I love that you used your unified voice to advocate for the mom. So I know that the model involves the foster parent coaching and mentoring the birth parent. Can you talk about that a little more? And Robin, how did you use your experience to mentor the birth mother?
There was a lot of moments where there were teaching moments where, as if like normally you'd get a parent educator, right? So Robin was teaching this mom how to be a mom to this baby without anybody really realizing it. So in those moments of how to soothe the baby when the baby's really upset in the back of the car, or checking in with the doctors and understanding what's going on and knowing, like, who better to teach her than the person who cares for this baby every single day? Mm-hmm.
And every time you say that, I want to share the flip side of it too, because I think this side gets left out a lot. As a foster parent, I get so much from this situation. And so they talk about me teaching her, but the truth was I was learning from her as well. We were developing a relationship that I was also benefiting from. She's an amazing young woman. She was showing me her courage and her resilience, and even when she was down, she was open and sharing with me. And also I was watching how she worked with the baby, seeing what kind of a parent she wanted to be. It wasn't always the same as, so it was a learning experience, but it was rewarding in both directions. And I think sometimes foster parents get set up to be, you know, well, you're the one who's doing all the giving, and it's really not the truth. The truth is there's so much to get from this situation.
That is such a good point, that both the foster parent and the birth parent benefit from this relationship. I do think that often gets overlooked. So talking about partnerships, the caseworker is obviously an important partner in this approach, and you need their buy-in for this to work. How were you able to get the caseworker's support on this case?
There's not one social worker, there's several. So we were like, We hope we get a good one each time. We got pretty lucky. I think the original investigative social worker really wanted this mom to succeed. And if she hadn't, we would have, who knows how it would have turned out. We would have had to fight a lot harder. And the second one came on the case specifically to work in partnership. So by then we'd had enough success with this birth mom that she chose to work with us. So she often said, you know, I don't even have to work on this case. Jody and Robin are doing all my work for me. She says, one of the easiest cases I've ever had.
And I think, so when we, just to rewind a little bit, when we went to the back after leaving the convening in Seattle and pitched this idea to our county, the director of Family, Youth, and Children was sitting there. And so right away he was like, anything that I can do to support this, I'm in. Let me know. And so the entire staff was there. It was an all staff. And so I feel like that also helped a lot. And we found our champion social worker immediately.
I'm curious. You talked about barriers that came up in the past when building this relationship. Is there something in policy and practice that needs to be changed, or are these just perceived barriers that are getting in the way?
I think the biggest barrier is social workers, honestly. They tend to be the barrier. And if they just move, just get back and let it happen, then oftentimes I feel that it's successful. And there are barriers because they've been doing it a certain way for so long that it's, they're facilitating everything. They're like, well, let me get back to you. I need to check in, you know, and it's, I just really do think that would be the biggest barrier.
Was there anything that surprised you about this case, given it was such a different way of working for both of you?
This mom worked hard, really hard, to get, she got a job, she got a place, you
got
know,
a car.
She got a car, but during all of that, she had to get her license back. And she was like involved in every service you could possibly think of. And one of those being our dependency drug court, which is just constant. Like you have just, your schedule is, it's not even doable, but somehow it is. And as the worker was like, okay, so we're ready to reunify. And she was like, I'm not ready. I need to accomplish a couple things so that I'm ready for him to come home. And it can be like, I know it'll be time. And when he's home forever. I really believe, and I get really emotional about this, but like, I really believe it's because she had that trust in her foster parent, that relationship, she was safe to say that. And that relationship allowed her to do that and allowed her, and she got to that place. And then we transitioned the baby to her. But well, how beautiful that if every parent could say that, if every parent could just be like, okay, but instead we're in a hurry. We got to get our kid right now because it's versus, and it's not, shouldn't be versus.
That is really wonderful that the mother felt safe enough to say she wasn't ready to be reunified, and she recognized that she needed some more time to stabilize before welcoming the baby back in her home. So obviously the pilot case was a success and the baby was returned home. Congratulations. Can you tell us a bit about the transition back home and how this reunification is different from a typical case?
We had a good transition, which rarely happens. Often a baby is just sort of thrown back in a birth parent's life and they're not going to say no, but they're, like you said, not ready. So things are bumpy and then they look like they're not doing well. And then the children don't do well. We had a nice transition. We were able to really sit down and decide what they needed. And then that's when drug court, and then we moved on and we didn't leave this baby's life. We saw the baby all the time. Our family friends saw the baby all the time. You saw him all the time. We started talking more about this case here. I think it was about a year later, I started introducing our pilot other places at this point using that case.
That is a great segue to my next question. What is next for the pilot program now that the first case has been reunified? How are you recruiting foster parents who are committed to shared parenting and have aligned values with this approach?
We now had a formal practice and protocol to use as a model. And we had Jody and her supervisor and myself and this social worker Rose, who bought into this meeting together, and we were allowed to start working with other relationships. And from the very beginning, our goal was create relationship between birth parents and foster parents. we ended up working with other relationships with social workers and whatnot, but that was our goal from the beginning. And so we just naturally started having these families show up in our lives that needed that kind of support at the beginning. I am a foster parent mentor. So what we decided to do is just really share our values with the new families coming in. I think the families that have been around for a long time were really kind of afraid of what we were doing. And I think it's a fear-based system. And they were, you know, there'd been some issues where foster parents were having allegations made against them for doing things that were supportive of families. As crazy as that sounds, that happens. And so they let me sort of jump ahead and be the guinea pig and try this out. I think that as soon as things start looking comfortable and acceptable, other foster parents started following suit, and especially the foster parents I mentored, because a new family would say, well, remember the one family we worked with was my mentee and your mentee, and we were working on the relationship with the birth family, and she said the mom needed to go somewhere, and she said, well, hop in my car. You know, that's what foster parents do. Well, that's never what foster parents did before, but she had seen me doing that. So just modeling this partnership was already starting to change the minds of foster parents.
So we would love to hear any stories about the birth mother and her baby since they've been reunified. Are you still in touch with them, and how are you continuing to support them?
So we're working on it. We're working on that. And this particular case, she did, we had the celebration of her signing off, and she did graduate drug court. She's no longer a CPS case. She's still very much in all of our lives. We've had successes with 9 or 10 cases, and what I call a success, Jody said the phrase the other day when we were looking at a family, and I think the child welfare agency just gets all bogged down with, well, but now what's going to happen to this family? They've reunified, but they don't have housing, and they don't have this, and we don't have that. But what we know is because of our work and partnership, that foster family is now connected to this birth family. And in this case, they may end up adopting, but they're still connected all the way around. Birth parents, grandparents, there's still challenges. You know, it's hard to be a family in this world no matter what. But what you called it, it was successfully partnered. So we could move on to the next case. This, we successfully partnered the social worker in this case, move on to the next case. Oh, wait, they're having a hard time again. Bring them back in and we'll sit down. So we just focus on building that relationship and magic happens.
I'd say the definition of, so this is our definition for partnership of a successful case, is that no matter how a case ends, as long as it's safe, every child deserves to keep everybody in their life that they love. So ultimately, the ending result is not what we're looking for. It's being successfully partnered, right? And so I do want to touch a little bit on a moment that was beautiful for me to sit back and watch. And it was like the awe partnership moment of watching this mom that we had our pilot case with standing up there at her dependency drug court graduation, and she's making her speech, and she was holding her little boy, and she set him down. And he runs over to Robin, jumps on her lap, gives her a hug and some loves. Robin bends, oh, geez, she cries.
I do every time I cry.
But Robin bends down and gives this little boy flowers, thank you, and says, here, go give these to mommy. And the little guy grabs the flowers and runs back to his mommy. And I actually have a picture. I snapped a picture in that moment, but all you can see is his little fingers in the bottom of the picture or something like that.
Reaching up to both of us.
Yeah, reaching up for both of them, because then they got up and they were hugging, and you see these little hands reaching up for the both of them. But it was just like a beautiful moment, and I was just sitting there in the chair looking, and I was like, no, that is partnership right there.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. It's a really beautiful story, and I know it's going to inspire all of our listeners out there. And good luck with all of your work. You're doing really amazing work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for letting us share.
Thank you for sharing your beautiful story. I know it will inspire all of our listeners out there. And good luck with all of the amazing work that you're doing.
And thank you to everyone for listening in to our conversation today. We hope you enjoyed it. Please check out our Voices from the Field resources, as well as our broader Questions from the Field resources at kc.org. Thank you.